Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
For tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Good to be back on the line again. We thank God from week to week. He blesses us to come and to be able to get to another week so we don't take it for granted. We're just going to open up with a word of prayer and get right into the lesson. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G, last week we saw the Apostle Paul as he was standing in front of the Roman judgment hall, in front of the Jewish in the judgment hall, the Jews, and they were all trying to silence him, keep him from disrupting their good thing. In other words, Paul was rocking the boat. And when Paul had his opportunity to defend himself and to proclaim the gospel, he did it so well that he dropped the mic and the folks that were standing in judgment had to get up and leave. it was something to behold. And like Dr. G said last week, when the Holy Spirit is in you, it'll allow you to be dignified. It'll probably get to the point. It'll allow you to stay calm and do what you need to do and let the Spirit handle the situation. And Paul did that in such a way that at the end of chapter 26, Festus and King Agrippa and Bernice, they got up and they said, well, he didn't do anything to deserve death. And you know, he didn't do anything wrong, but we can't proclaim that. So because he desired, because he was a Roman citizen, to have his case brought before Caesar, that we're going to send him on his way and we can wash our hands of it. And a lot of times you'll see that in today's society. And I believe you said that last week, Sheila G, that in corporate America, people are always passing the buck. Nobody wants to make a decision. No one wants to lose their position of authority or power. So they pass the buck to somebody else so they don't have to their name on the official record of doing X, Y, and Z. Sheila G.
It's interesting that you should say that because I have an exact example today with my new client that I'm working with in accounting. I'm working with a person, and she was saying that the CFO that got basically after 10 years kicked out last year because he was doing some underhanded things, and she, being low person on the totem pole, recognized it earlier because she was going through some records and something didn't look right, and it had his name on it, and it was something that he should not have been handling. So she went to him innocently and said, okay, I see that you're the one that signed off on this, but it doesn't belong to this, that, that, and the other. And he said, well, just go ahead and take my name off of it. And she said that was a red flag to her, and she said he whispered it. So that was a red flag to her, and so she pretty much sold on, I'm not taking my name off of it. And from that point forward, he was rude to her. Well, as it turned out, 2 years later, he's one that lost his job, and she was still standing. But he said when she refused to do the underhanded the CFO asked her to do, his attitude, and she's been there 16 years, he'd been there 10, changed her. Because the stuff was starting to float up to the top, and now she's like, and hot. She's glad that she didn't, because she would have like had to go be sold down the drain with him. But
Right. Standing
on the truth caused her to fall out of favor with him.
And that's the way it is. And Dr. G, as a leader of a church, you have to not be people pleasers. And you have to stand on the truth. And a lot of times, if you're not a people pleaser, you fall out with people, and they don't want to deal with you no more. So they try to get rid of you. But Paul was one that because of his relationship with God, realized that you could stand on the truth and you couldn't have it both ways. And that was our question on last week. You realize that you can't have it both ways. And because if you try, it's gonna find you out, and so when you're in ministry for the right reason, you're not always gonna have a whole bunch of friends when you're standing on the truth, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. In fact, you find that they are few and in between. I mean, you know, folk will smile in your face, greet you, but real friendship is going to be hard to find. And I found that it's okay, because the best friend that you can have is Jesus.
All right, then. Amen. And so this is where Paul and his ministry is finding out that the best friend could have, you can, or anyone can have, is Jesus. And his next, Sheila G, his next position or his next portion of his journey is going to take him through some rougher roads. And we always have to hearken back to where God says, you know, I brought you through this one thing and I'm going to be with you through another thing.
Uh-huh.
And so now in chapter 27, he's going to be on a boat, Lord have mercy, a ship that's going to sail the seas to Rome. And it's going to be a rough boat ride. It's going to be a rough sailing. And, you know, it reminds me of ministry. If you've been in ministry for a while, there's going to be some times where things are going to be smooth. But if you're continuing to move forward in ministry, there's always going to be some rough sailing. There's always going to be some rough spots in your journey. And I think that's one of the toughest things, Sheila G, to share with people in ministry, is that it's not always going to be smooth sailing. It's not always going to be 70 degrees, low humidity, no rain, cumulus clouds, beautiful sky, and nothing everything's so mellow. It's not going to be that way. And when you tell people that, I think then they shy away from ministry, and they shy away from doing the things of God because they're like, well, this is hard and
right.
This doesn't make sense. And why am I going through this? And you know, one of the things last night, family was in the emergency room with my daughter. She had some kind of bad infection, couldn't get her white blood count down. And she went from one hospital to the next hospital. And when she was leaving from one hospital, she had to go back to another hospital. And it's just, you know, one of those things where everything's not going to sail, not going to be smooth. And it reminds me of you and I during our childhood. It was even you, it was me. One of us was going to Malcolm X Grow, or that's what we used to call the hospital. That's what we used to call the hospital jokingly at Andrews Air Force Base. And, you know, it was me with the asthma, you with the asthma, you with the seizure, me with the lumps and the growths and all these things that are eczema. And, you know, it was always something. But what that does is it prepares you for the challenges that are going to come with ministry. But some people are hesitant because when the challenges come, they try to rely on self instead of relying on God. And so when this thing happened with my daughter, it was just like, well, we're just going to pray and we're going to trust God. Like Brandon would always say, trust God through the process. And you know, I told her that, you know, this too shall pass. It's no fun going through it, but with God's help, we're going to make it through. And some people would say that'd be like vain, or, you know, do you really believe that? And it's like, this is my history with God. This is not what I believe. This is what I know.
Yep.
Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. That's why I always talk about pull on your past victories, because you know that God has brought you out some awful things. Even those that aren't really close to the Lord, when they look back over their life, they know that there's no explanation for some of the things that happened in their lives, and it's not luck. It was the Holy Spirit watching over us. And if you have that relationship with God and you go through those things, you put it in your back pocket. You remember it. You recognize who brought you through. So when you're getting ready to go through again, you're like, okay, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why I'm in the storm. I don't know why I lost my job. I don't know why this person treated me so bad. I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to be a good person, do the good thing. It seems like everybody's rolling up against me. But what I do know is that you will never leave me or forsake me. What I do know, if I look in Colossians 3, the things that I do to live, I have to do it as if I'm doing it unto you. I may not be able, I can't stand these people that I'm working with. I can't stand these people. But you know what, God? You told me to do whatever I do as if I'm doing it unto you. Then I gain that power. Then my faith goes stronger so that I'm prepared and I'm not walking around, like you said, with my head up in the sky, all privileged and entitled, and like don't know how to handle controversy. So that's why we see in the real world, back then and those today, that have been privileged or had a spoon in their mouth, they can't handle controversy because they've been so soft. Life's been so wonderful. But those that have fought through life and made it through and trusted God, they know that I can't hide it. I can't sweep it under the rug. I can't act like it's happening. I can't run from it. But God is going to get me through it. And then those that see that you're being blessed with less, they get mad. That's what our country's going through now. It's like the privilege. You're like, oh, my God, people of color are going to take over, this, that, and the other. But that's because we worked through it and we learned how to persevere and not being handed things by trusting and having faith in the Lord.
Amen. And Dr. Yeah, it's one of those things that solidifies your faith when you've gone through the test. And I'm telling anybody in ministry, you've been in for a while, you keep living long enough. We used to have a preacher, an older preacher, he said, you keep living. And you're going to experience some things. And you had any troubles or challenges in ministry and life, keep on living. it'll definitely show up. It's going to knock on your door. And as a pastor and as a minister for the years that you've been in ministry, you share with us that it hadn't always been, you know, a piece of cake. There's been some ups and some downs, and you have to enjoy the good times, and you have to pray through the difficult times. Help me out, Dr. G. You still there, Doc? I just dropped him. That's all right. We're gonna get him back shortly. But in ministry, what you find out is that there's gonna be some winds. There's gonna be some storms. There's gonna be some things that will knock you down. And I think we got him back. Try him again. We got you back, Dr. G. We lost you when you already say so.
But,
yeah,
just
tell about.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, life is, you know, it's hard enough when you're not a Christian, but if you believe in Christ, you're going to have your share of ups and downs. And then if you are a minister, that's just added, you know, Sheila said double for the trouble, but that's added on. And when I go back and I think about all of the years I've been preaching, because what, it's over 45, I've been pastoring for 28, and I tell folks I could write a book, literally, about all that I've gone through. But the thing that has really helped me was that each time my faith has gotten stronger. I mean, I've had to deal with death. I've had to deal with people getting sick. I've had to deal with church folk. I've had to deal with folk talk about me. I mean, I've dealt with a little bit of everything. But through it all, that song says, you know, you've learned how to trust in Jesus. And your faith grows. You become more mature. So that as you get older, you get wiser, you know, that stuff doesn't last as long. You know how to handle it. You turn it over to the Lord and he works it out. But yes, you are going to go through something. And that's why the Lord said, you know, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. No, he's not going to take everything away. In most cases, we got to go through it. But by going through it, it makes us stronger.
Amen. Amen. So, We're going to pick up in chapter 27, and it almost seems like it's a lot to bear, Sheila G, for Paul to have gone through this latest thing with Agrippa and the Jews, and he's sailing to Rome from Judea. And it almost seems like it's unfair because his journey is going to be fraught to the point where he thinks he's going to lose his life, except for the words that God had given him prior to him being on trial in Judea, saying that, you know, you're going to make it there and don't worry about it. And that's what he had to hold on through this journey over these seas and dealing with people that are not listening to reason. And a lot of times in ministry, you got to go through this ministry journey dealing with people that won't listen to reason. And the only thing that you can hold on is, like Dr. G said, God promised you, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so until the end of your missionary journey or whatever ministry assignment you've been given, there's going to be some challenges, whether it's on land, sea, wherever it's going to be. You're going to have these challenges. And it almost seems like it's not fair. It's like he went through this whole trial thing, and now he's got to go through this whole journey just to get to Rome. And If you pick up the map of this place that Paul went from Jerusalem to Italy, It's a journey. It's quite a journey to go from Jerusalem to Italy through the Mediterranean Sea and all those passages. And what they would have to do is they would have to hug the coast and try to go into places and ports where it would be more advantageous, where they would, the storms would pass over and then they get back out and then they could sail. But there was large sections of bodies of water where, you know, they were at the mercy of the winds and the time of the year. And so, you know, it wasn't the most advantageous time for them to go sailing. But people who didn't want to listen or wanted to go along with the crowd didn't listen. And so they ended up getting into trouble on the seas on their way to Rome. And that just lets us know that in the midst of our being ministers, in the midst of us being pastors and preachers and teachers and children of God in general, there's going to be some physical challenges that are going to come your way. You can be the most spiritual person. Paul was a one who was of great faith, but here he's facing challenges, physical challenges that could cost him his life. And so I say that to say, you know, we're spiritual beings, but we live in physical bodies, and our physical bodies are going to face challenges day to day. Anybody that's over the age of two, realize you're getting older and you have a few aches and pains and problems and issues with your physical body. And that's going to be like that until you shed this body and this body goes back to the dust from whence it came. And so along with the spiritual battle, you have the physical battle, you have the mental battle. And when you have all these battles, what has to happen is you really have to draw on the word of God, your faith in God. You really have to hang out with people that are going to encourage you and remind you of your faith. That's why it's so important to go to worship. That's why it's so important to pray and have prayer service and Sunday school and all those things, because these are the things that help you to remember the word of God that will help you to remain spiritual, even when you're going through physical challenge. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, one of my phrases, and I learned this from Minister Polly Henry when she was teaching Sunday school Bible study lesson, and she really broke it down to us, or maybe on Women's Day, one of Women's Fellowship, where she explained how you can be unhappy. You can be in an unhappy situation and still have joy. And we were looking at her like, well, how are you going to still have joy? And she went to the scripture that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that if you are weak and you're weak in your flesh, even as Jesus was asking them to pray for him, you're weak in the flesh, and you're in that circumstance, you can look beyond your circumstance, look beyond your problem towards the problem solver, and that will give you joy, that will give you peace, that will give you strength to move past that unhappy situation, because there's sin in the world, and Satan reigns in this world. So there will be ugliness. Mm-hmm. There will be things that come against you, but you'll be able to withstand those storms if you have a serious relationship with God. But to your point, you cannot have that if you got one foot, you know, in the church and in Christianity and spiritual, and the other foot being in the world, because you want to flip it back and forth depending on, quote-unquote, how you feel. Then you can't deal with your circumstance. There's a song, Our God Reigns. It says, over my circumstance, giving me another chance, Our God Reigns. That means that you don't have to be bound by your circumstance if you have joy, if you look towards the Lord and stop trying to handle it yourself or try to be people pleasers or allow someone to bring you down because they're just people. They have no power. We tend to give man more power and faith than we do God. But God will get you through that unhappy situation if you don't focus on the situation, don't focus on the problem, but focus on the problem solver.
Amen. Well said. So we're going to get into this chapter 27. And we say all this to preface this, that chapter 27, it starts off, it is a really, really, the whole chapter is really, really challenging physically and spiritually. It's like when I read it, it was like every time I read it, it's like I'm exhausted by the time I get to the end of the chapter, because it's like it's so much to take in physically to say that I'm trying to go from Jerusalem, from Judea, all the way to Rome, and the challenges that we're going to face, and the things that Paul went through on his way. And again, it reminds you of the earthly ministry of Jesus on his way to Calvary's cross, the things and the storms that he had to go through. But his Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit was with him. And that's what we had to draw on it. And we can't go into this thing thinking that it's just going to be a bed of roses. We have to go in it understanding that there's going to be challenges, but like you said, know who the problem solver is. And to know the word of God so we can see the story from the beginning to the end and say, hey, you know, just like Paul said, God said, just like I'm with you during this period, I'm also going to be with you as you go to the Gentiles, and there's nothing going to stop you. But nowhere in that did he say it was going to be easy. So we're going to look at chapter 27. So strap on. We're going to look at chapter 27. It's exhausting, but it's so important, and I'm glad God put this in the Word of God, Dr. G, because sometimes you do get tired in ministry. Sometimes you get tired in service, and you need that pick-me-up, and you need that word of encouragement. You need that prayer. You need that a personal relationship. You need someone to come alongside you and say, hey, it's going to be all right, hang in there, because it can be exhausting. And so we're going to see Paul's journey from just finishing up with Festus and Bernice and Agrippa and getting on a ship with some folk that people pleases, and these folks were trying to get to, they had this route that they would take trying to get from Judea to Italy, and they wanted to impress Caesar and the folks in Rome. And so, you know, in spite of the time for sailing wasn't ideal, they said they were going to press their way anyway, so they can, you know, be seen as, hey, we can run this for Caesar. Trust us with your cargo. Trust us with your delivery of people, because no matter what the sea is, we can deliver, you know, anytime. And, you know, they overpromise, and we're going to see what happens when people don't listen to that wisdom like you were talking about, Dr. G, and end up finding that woulda, shoulda, coulda, it gets your butt in a bad situation. So we're gonna start in chapter 27, and Agrippa and Festus and Bernice just wash their hands with Paul in Judea and in Jerusalem. And so in chapter 27, it picks up and says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, and they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And if you read that in the NIV, it reads a little different. But we want to read it in the NIV, and it says, when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some of the other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. And so this was a sailing vessel, a sailing route during that time that was under the control of Roman government, and so these people had a hand out that they received funding to be able to run people back and forth between Jerusalem and Rome. And so that's why, under whatever circumstance they were willing to take the risk to be the big guy or the reliable guy for Rome and stay in their hand getting money. And so, you know, they obviously were wanting to take this opportunity to go one more time up and down the Mediterranean Sea. And so they all got together, and Paul and some other prisoners were scheduled to sail to Rome. And so in verse 2, it says, we boarded a ship from Adrimetum, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. And so they got out on the ocean to get to go. And it says Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. And so it sets the stage of they're getting on the boat and they're putting out to sea. And as they're putting out to sea, it's letting us know of the people that were involved. And there were some Jews, there were some Gentiles, there were some Romans, there were some prisoners. There was, you know, a whole palette of people that were on this journey. And in life, you're going to go through life with a whole palette of people in your life on the journey. And during this time of their life, you have an opportunity to witness. And so when I looked at this chapter, studied this chapter, there's a time where everyone that was on this journey that was surrounded, that Paul was surrounded by, they had an opportunity to see his faith in action. And a lot of times we're in a journey with people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different situations. They had prisoners on there. You had soldiers on there. You had people from the Roman government, people from Jewish realm. But Paul had the opportunity to minister to everyone there on this treacherous journey. And so sometimes our ministry journey or our life's journey has us in a place where we have the opportunity, if we look at it that way, where we're surrounded by people, to allow our light or our faith to shine. And if you fast forward to the end of this chapter, you'll see that because of what they went through and because of the way Paul handled himself, many of them would turn to God. Shield G.
Amen. And that's why we're labeled as ambassadors for Christ. And we are a living testimony for Christ. And sometimes we're the only Bible or God that people may see. So it's important that we walk upright as best we can, because you don't know the impact that you may have on someone. That's why I say that even if you're in the grocery store and you say hi, polite to a cashier, you never know. They may have just had these horrible customers up between that. And just that simple smile, that pleasantness, shows them Christ and shows them love and compassion, because that's what God tells us, to love God and love thy neighbor, even if we don't particularly care for them. But to your point, our life and our testimony, not what comes out of our mouth, but what comes out of our action and our character, helps to influence others.
Amen. And that's, yeah, I find that sometimes you have creatures that just, I don't know, is their personality, disposition isn't a disposition that would be conducive to people being saved or drawn to Christ. And it just seems odd that the two don't line up, that you're not in a position where people will be drawn to Christ, but it'd be like they'll be almost rejecting Christ. But I've seen preachers in that vein where they're just like, oh, this guy, he might know a lot, he might know the word, but there's something about the word that doesn't line up with who they are. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you're right, and I have definitely experienced that there are a lot of preachers out here, pastors included, whose heads are so big, their egos are so large, and it's all about them. The stuff that they say, the way they carry themselves, you know, you would think, as our former president said when he was running that time, that he's, you know, he was God. They act like they are God, and whereas we should be pointing the way to the Lord, but you've got some big egos out here. You know, it's all about them, and it is a turnoff.
Yeah, and it seems like you're like, when you're in that position, it's almost like you can't be approached, you're perfect, or you don't make mistakes, and you're up here and somebody else is down there, and people are turned off by that. And And so on Paul's journey, he's going along with them, letting them know, hey, I'm in this thing with you. And I think a lot of times when people understand that you're in it with them, that you know, we're in this thing together, we're fighting, and we're in this struggle together, it goes a long way. It's not a thing where you're sitting in the great palace and, you know, you watch the coronation of the folk in Europe this past week. And, you know, it's a lot of, they know how to do pomp and circumstance really well. They do it well. I'll give them that. They do pomp and circumstance really well. But I don't know what it does for the common folk, what that does for them. So I'm not even going to get into that. But in ministry and life, when people understand that you care and that you're in it with them, it goes a long way. And a lot of times people don't care what you say until they understand that you care. and then they care about what you say. And so Paul is on the ship with a whole lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, and they're on this ship. And then we pick up in verse 3 Acts 27, verse 3, it says, the next day we landed at Sidon. And Sidon was like right up the coast, not too far from modern-day Syria, where they popped up from Macedonia up the coast to Sidon. And Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. And that's one of the things, Dr. G, that I've found in my life and in ministry is that God always has somebody, have mercy, that will help you along the way. And there's always some faithful folks somewhere along the way that will show you love and generosity. And in the NIV, it said kindness, that Julius and kindness to Paul allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. And, you know, God will always put someone in your path that will, in the midst of your journey, in the midst of your storm, will come alongside and give you just enough of what you need to help you along the way. Yes, the Holy Spirit will be there in the spirit realm. But God knows that we live in this flesh, and we have emotions, we have feelings, we hurt, we have all this humanness in us. And God knows that, and God will put somebody in your path, and he'll have prepared them from years and years. It might be a mother or a father at church. It might be a friend. It might be someone that's not even in the church that would do an act of kindness towards you that will help you along your way. Dr. G.
You're right, Pastor C. I learned that early on in my ministry. And I thank God for my very first pastor, Pastor King, who was pastoring over First Rock. He was just that type of person. I mean, he loved the Lord. He loved the people, and he could tell you who wasn't at church Sunday, because he would be sitting in the pulpit just writing names, and he would mention them in his remarks. And, you know, there was something about that really sent waves throughout my body, and I picked up on that. And I learned how to be humble. I learned how to be caring. I learned how, you know, to be of help, to, especially with, you know, other pastors that are coming along and starting churches. You need a friend. You need someone who's been through it, someone who understands. That's why, you know, I shared with you and others that have started churches, look, you need a pool, you need a church, whatever, use it. That's what we have to be about. You know, that those buildings are not for us. They're to be used by God's people to win other folk to Christ. And as you said, just a kind gesture like that will go years and take you ways to let you know that there are some people out here that you can really count on.
Amen, amen. And I always thank you for how you've helped us in ministry. It's something that you can't take for granted, because everybody's not going to be kind, Dr. G. everybody's not going to be looking out for you to help you along your way, so you can't take it for granted. We really appreciate it. We'll be celebrating 20 years next year, and it's always been somebody in New Birth, and Dr. G, you guys have been there with us every step of the way, and so we're grateful for that. And you know, God always has somebody, and I don't know where in this world that God doesn't have somebody, but you know, on this way to this journey, it said that they stopped in Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. And Sheila G, God says that he will always provide for our needs. And everything that we need for our journey, God will provide. And so in studying this book of Acts, or the Acts of the church, or the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the church, we see every step of the way in the first century church, God has always provided everything they need. He'll show us the trouble that comes against the church and the problems and in the situations, the storms of life, but everything he needs. And what I like about this is that he's providing what he needs in the beginning of the journey. So you're not going on the journey unprepared. You might think that you're not prepared in the midst of, but God has already put in you or provided you everything you need to complete and make the journey. Sheila G.
Amen. As you were saying that, I was actually flipping in my Bible to the 23rd Psalm, because that says it all in there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, it's just like that is all the preparation there. And I think that's why Psalm 23 is one of everyone's favorite scripture, because that summary is what you're talking about. Paul had all of that. But you don't understand Psalm 23 until you have a serious relationship. I mean, prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy, from a human and not thy rod and thy staff. They comfort what? How is that going to comfort me? Because you know the shepherd be great, that hook be pulling the dumb sheep in there. Standing at the door protecting me. So to your point is that if you have that relationship with God, I shall not want. I'm dependent on him. He prepares me no matter what comes to me. Lead me by the still. Lead us, because I trust in him. I don't trust myself. I don't trust man. So whatever comes at me from that, from the words in that scripture, lets you know it's going to be all right. Even if through a person's eyes or man's eyes, kind of what Janice was going through yesterday. But you know it's going to be all right. That's why when somebody's going through, I always pray for their peace and for their strength.
Yeah.
Because God's will be done. But it's just a matter of, do you have an attitude of gratitude? Are you going to worry about things you can't control? Are you just going to say, you know what, God, I thank you for it all. I know that you're right there with me. You prepared for me to deal with it. So let's do this.
Amen, amen, and that is powerful. You know, prepare that table before me in the presence of my enemy. Not to say that Julius was his enemy, but to realize that this was someone that was in charge, that was under the guide of and the employment of the Roman government, and that person showed kindness to you, and the understanding. People from all backgrounds in life, saved and unsaved, God can use to help you along the way. and you just can't get in a box and put God in the box and say, only the saved folk going to help me. You know, God got some unsaved folk that can help you, that you can show, like you said, an attitude of gratitude, and then they can become saved. Because believe it or not, everybody had been saved all their life. and you have to realize and accept you know, the help that God has given you. And sometimes people are holier than thou, and they can't receive from people that God has sent their way to help them. So we thank God for this preparation and the acts of kindness that he uses with people along the way. Julius didn't have to do it, but out of the kindness that God allowed to go through his gestures, he entreated Paul, and Paul got his knees and got prepared, you know, provided for his journey. And we're gonna take one more verse, and then we're gonna go to the phone line. It says, "From there we put out to sea again, and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us." And you know, you always, Sheila, we always used to hear our dad when he was out in the field, and he would do this mojo, because they had to have the skies clear in order for their munition rounds to be able to hit their target. And there was times where the clouds and the wind and the weather was not advantageous. And so he would go out there, and he said he would do a mojo. And little did the people who were under his command know that the mojo would be he'd do some praying.
Yep.
and more times than not, their window would open up for them to be able to mark out their targets and set their sights on their weapons. They have these big howitzer guns that they use to shoot field artillery, and they would open up, and they were able to shoot, and they were able to score high marks every time they were in the field, and people will be amazed about how he was able to command that. And he would call it a mojo, but in actuality, God was on his side, and just by his cool demeanor, he said, "I'm gonna call it a mojo," and people would ask what the mojo is, and you know, that would open up a window or a door for him to talk about his faith. Sheila G.
Amen. Yep, he would say, "Mojo, mojo, ain't going to rain no more." and to your point of being humble and not being high and mighty, it wasn't just the officers that knew and heard that he spoke to about this, but it was a lot of the enlisted soldiers that worked for him that recognized and respected that, because he was sharing the word and sharing his faith and his strength amongst everybody, not just amongst the elite.
Amen, amen. And so when I was studying this, Dr. Jay said, "Elite, what is nothing? What in the world is elite?" In verse 4 in the NIV, it says, "From there we went put out to a sea again and passed to the lee of the Cyprus because the winds were against us." And so Lee, what that means is it's like the eastern part of the island of Cyprus. And so the ships, because they were sail ships, they had to position the ships in a way where the wind would come into the sails and push the ship in a direction that it wouldn't tear the ship apart. And so you had to wait for the wind to blow in a certain way. And so because the winds were against them, they went on the eastern side, the lee means the eastern side of Cyprus, to avoid the wind. So the whole path to Rome was filled with strategic moves to be able to find the most advantageous way to get to your destination. However, it wasn't always the quickest way. And a lot of times we find in ministry, then we want stuff to happen just like that. But there's times in our ministry that we need to go to the lee of Cyprus or whatever position you need to slow down or be wise and not trying to go head on against the wind, because there's going to be winds against ministry. There's always going to be resistance of the enemy, and sometimes you have to take your time and take the long way, and be patient, and wait on God in order for you to advance. And in looking at this, we can learn that it's not always advantageous to take the wind straight on, because it can tear up your stuff, and now you're set back. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, honestly, that's what I think a lot of churches are going through right now. Since the pandemic has come, a lot of people have decided that they weren't going to go back to church for whatever reason. And so the Lord had to reveal the ones that were sincere and those that were not. And there are times when it appears that, you know, you get to a point and you wonder whether or not it's worth it. But if you allow the Spirit to guide you, he may take you to the left or to the right, but it's always in the way that he wants you to go. We may not understand why or his reasoning, but if you obey him, you will stumble to where he wants you to be. And I found that out during this time after the pandemic. And when those times come when you feel like giving up and you just say, forget it, the Lord has his way of stepping in, and he'll move you to the side and then reveal what he wants you to do.
Amen. Amen. And it takes time. It takes time. And so, you know, you look at that and said, it's the east side. And so it would have been quicker for them to go the other way, but the winds were against them, so they would have lost time. And so the east side was able to protect them until it was more advantageous for the wind to push the boat out and make progress. And so we have to learn to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And that's going to be our question tonight. And sorry it took so long to develop this, but we got to learn to wait on the Lord on our Christian journey. So we're going to go to our first call. Ask a question. You learn to wait on God during your Christian journey. Our first call, last 4 digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, I have learned to wait on the Lord. That's the only way we can do it, God's way, to wait on him and let him lead us. Sometimes we think we know what we're doing and which direction to go in, but we're not. We don't really know. And when we wait on God, that stops a lot of confusion in our life. And we know when we do it, when we wait on God, we're doing it God's way and not our way. So, yes, we do have to wait on God. And sometimes we have to wait quite a while on God. And while we're waiting, we just have to pray and keep praising God and just keep trusting and believing that he knows what's best for us. And the closer we get to him, the more we learn to trust him. And sometimes God will let us do things our way. But when that happens and we make a mess out of it, we go back to him and we acknowledge and let him know that I didn't wait on you. I thought I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so, yes, we do have to pray and ask God every day, ask the Holy Spirit every day to direct our path and give me enough patience and understanding that I can wait on you. Because sometimes it get hard. Sometimes it really gets hard. We want to just go and do it. But God, he always knows best.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I personally, very personally know what it means to wait on the Lord. And I've been doing that. I'm going to continue to do that as long as I have breath. I'm going to pray and ask him for his help, his guidance. But I'm going to always wait on him. I don't care how long it takes, because I won't know how long it's going to take. But I know that I'm going to wait on the Lord. I know what he's done for me. He's my refuge, and I'm just so thankful to him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Say 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. What was the question again?
Learn to wait on the Lord. How important it is to learn to wait on God.
It's very important to wait on God, because waiting on God, it just feels better. And once you accomplish what you want to accomplish, or you reach that finish line, when you wait on God, it just, the reward just feels so much better, rather than when you do it yourself. When you do it yourself, it feels, it's like confusing, there's chaos. But when you wait on the Lord, yeah, it's going to take some patience, and it's good to, you know, while you're waiting on him, to pray, to have patience, to wait on him. But the reward after waiting on him is so much better than trying to go before him and do it yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I mean, I would say it's in a Christian's journey, I don't think we're ever going to master it, you know, but I think it's something that we just have to continuously work on. And for me personally, the unknown, or the issues that I'm dealing with, or the questions I want answers to that God doesn't reveal, and I guess the time that I feel that he should, that's normally when I struggle, when I'm kind of in unfamiliar territory, because I'm always tempted to do it my way or kind of resort back to the old Brandon. So for me, that's really where I'm at now. I think for the most part, I'm okay. I'm learning to be patient, but I just think with certain things, we all have, you know, things we struggle with. That's where I find myself kind of struggling. But it's taught me to have a relationship with God. You know, before I would just get mad and get upset and frustrated, but I'm like, you know what, let me pray. Let me go talk to the Lord. Let me utilize some of the resources that God's put out here to help me get through it. You know, I think it's one thing we talked about patience and waiting, but it's also how you wait and how you practice your patience. Are you bitter, upset, you know, mad, just being, you know, whatever? Are you in the church? Are you trying to help somebody else out to help you get your mind off of what it is you're waiting for God to reveal? So for me, it's definitely a work in process, but I've had to be more intentional with it. I've had to be more, like anything, if you want to get better at it, you got to continuously work at it. Even sometimes when you're not going through things, or you feel like, okay, I got a little breathing room right now. Nothing's going on where I'm really like waiting for God to do anything or reveal anything. Those are the times when I start to get in the word. So when those things happen, I'm that much stronger and I can actually handle them better. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight, Sheila G. That's going to do it for tonight. As you have some final comments and closes out in prayer, please.
Amen. I think the final comments came from all of the callers. Basically, wait on the Lord and be of good courage and get out of God's way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another Bible study lesson. I pray, Father, that we would take this word, hide it in our hearts, show it in the actions that we portray in front of others, Lord. Help us, Father, to be patient, wait on you, let you lead, God, and direct our path. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.